I'd like to ask you, a lot of people, I think, are becoming disenfranchised with the political system that we've got in operation in this country.
Yeah, a lot of people say that to me too. What the hell are you standing for politics for? It doesn't mean anything, or you can't achieve anything, or you'll get to Canberra and you'll just become another politician.
It all just seems, and I can appreciate the sentiment. It just seems so insurmountable, you know, the challenge that's ahead of us from an environmental perspective.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you look at the way governments have kowtowed to corporate interests, then it's very easy to worry that corporations control the world and governments are just their lapdogs.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sure sort of some people feel it's getting a bit like the last 400 years of the Roman Empire, when the Senate was just a rubber stamp for the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully I'm not just an old-fashioned romantic. I think that there is the possibility that government can rear up and do its job.
Mm.
And governments make laws and governments send us to wars. And so we need good people in government to make sure that we do make good laws and that we don't get involved in bad wars. And the other thing that I think is really important to remember is that the Greens as a party are really just the political wing of a broader movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got activist groups like Sea Shepherd. We've got people like Friends of the Earth that you're going to have on the second half of this show.
That's right.
So we've got a spectrum of activist groups, from people who are actually out there on the front line chaining themselves to trees to prevent bulldozing for coal seam gas. We saw that down at Glenorgie in northern New South Wales just, you know, over the first couple of months this year.
Yeah.
Those activists are the front line. And those of us like me who are standing for political office are, you know, sort of way back on a comfy couch somewhere compared to those people.
Mm.
But we're all part of a broader movement. And it's that movement that has to work together to turn this around. Because we were just talking about the vested interests preventing or working to undermine governments that are trying to take action on climate change.
Mm.
And so we've seen how those vested interests work. And everywhere you look, it would appear that they are in the ascendancy. We've got, you know, a concentration of media power, and we've got coal magnates like Gina Rinehart here in Australia and the Koch brothers in America spending their coal money on buying media. We've got people like Clive Palmer spending their coal money on political influence.
Mm.
We've got people like Jamie Packer, a gambling billionaire, investing money in Qatar.
Mm.
And so, you know, everywhere we look, we see these corporate interests trying to control the reins of power. So how do we, as a people who care, people who want to, you know, get this emphasis away from short-term profit and towards a long-term sane future, get control of the process? And it's only by working together. It's only by taking those broad movements, supporting each other, being as inclusive as possible, trying to reverse this notion that somehow there's normal people and there's other people. The divisive way that the Murdoch press and the political parties, you know, they agitate to make people afraid, make them afraid of refugees, make them afraid of people with sexual differences and so on. So we have to reverse that. We have to go to all of these people who are being marginalised and say, we're with you. We have to work together. Mm. And we have to change that consciousness and say the future is going to be green one way or another. Whether we manage ourselves towards that better, greener future, or whether we drive nature out of control and she smashes us by rising sea levels, extreme weather, and the collapse of the ecosystems that nurture us as a species, that's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
We can either manage it by being intelligent, or we can be greedy and selfish and solve the problem by the destruction of billions of people.
There's an undercurrent in what you're saying there, which I think is important to grasp and elucidate, which to me sounds like the important thing is to start with the positive outlook, not with a negative outlook. We're going to have a green future, you said. You know,
yes.
Start with the assumption that, yes, we can do it.
Well, I think most of the people listening to this program, most of the people who have voted Green in the past, have a vision of what the future could be. They have formed that, they've consciously formed the view that this is not about short-term profit and wealth generation, that that was a 20th century focus, and that what we're entering a resource-constrained age, and we have to nurture those resources. We have to understand that supporting 9 billion people on a planet is probably beyond the capacity of the planet, and the only way to reduce population is by choice, and affluent countries reduce their population naturally. And so we have to find a way to nurture ourselves and get ourselves over the crisis of having so many people on the planet that we can't feed and water ourselves without environmental destruction. And we have to move towards a saner, more sustainable world. And that means a different lifestyle. And so we have to see that as our positive future, and we have to support each other getting there to counter the fear that, you know, when people say these Greens are going to take away your car, they're going to send us back to the Dark Ages, that's people who are afraid of losing what they've got speaking. And so we have to help those people overcome their fear. You know, they want normal things. They want to be able to drive to work and have a barbecue and jump in their boat and go out and catch a fish. That's not an evil desire. It just happens that if 9 billion of us try and live like that, we're going to destroy the place. And so we have to compromise somehow. So we have to help those people who don't really feel like compromising understand that it's going to be okay and that there is a better way.
Well, if I may be so bold as to suggest that perhaps we take the high ground metaphorically before it's necessary to take the high ground literally.
Yes, well, we certainly don't want to be seeing 9 billion people squabbling over the last few resources. That's going to get very ugly. And I think that, you know, what's happening is the 1%, the vested interests who own most stuff, are quite happy to see crisis occur because they think that their high fences and their stash of gold bars is going to see them through the trouble. Well, that's no good for the rest of us.
No. Look, I'm very sorry, Jeff. We have to cut it off there. It's been fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you very much for coming on Eco Radio today.
Oh, thank you very much for the time, Alex. Much appreciated.
Very welcome. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you kindly.